All right, we're back at it again with another run. Fortunately, this time the Garmin connected quickly. So, hey, you know, there we go. All right, so, and we're off. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think we might do 15. Maybe 20. I'm not quite sure yet. See how the body feels. Let's see. So anyways, how are you? How are you doing? I'm Jimmy, in case you don't know me. Jimmy Flores. And so yeah, brief little recap as to what the hell this is. So I am I'm a runner, not a pro runner, I wish, but no, I am a amateur runner, I'm a hobbyist, I run to be able to eat the food I want to eat, kind of, sort of, but yeah, and so I decided to start recording my I don't even know if this is a podcast yet. Let's just call it a podcast for now, while I go out on my runs, and because I also want to explain a little bit on about this little brand project that I have in mind that I want to build, so you can get to know more about kind of my own little personal backstory in the previous episode. I go into some detail about who I am, this kind of stuff, but really the important thing is this Jimmy Hanna brand that I kind of want to see exist. And I guess my initial thought on this run was to share with you a little bit about why I think why I feel more that this should exist. So let's see, where do I start? I wanted to create a brand for, let's say, running apparel, fitness apparel, under the vision, the culture, the graphical style that I have in mind, but really, even before the product, the idea is to create a brand that really has, I don't know, it has these values that I really think are important, because for me, the ultimate goal is to create a brand that helps people be happier. Because, you know, I think a lot of people run, a lot of people sweat primarily to be happier. They're looking for that little bit of happiness, whether it's losing weight, whether it's getting a six pack, whatever it is, people are sweating to be happy at something, happier at something. That's what I feel. So, you know, my background was in, I studied fashion, even though I've never professionally worked in it. So, because I studied fashion, there is obviously this little facet to my personality that appreciates the things that I wear. You know, I like to buy stuff that I feel reflects a little bit of my own personality. And looking around at a bunch of these running brands, and no offense to anyone, you know, they all do some pretty cool stuff, honestly. You know, I like Nike. That's kind of my go-to, just because there's just so much that I am culturally connected to with Nike that I'll go into more detail later, because I think it's a little interesting story. And damn it, it's raining, and I should have brought a hat. Oh well. So we've clocked off 1K. So, you know, yeah, so Nike, Adidas, Asics, Brooks, Hoka, Salomon, all these brands, they do some really cool stuff, honestly. But it's still a little somber for my liking. It's very, how do I say it? It just doesn't really reflect my own joy and happiness. You know, I find that the clothes that are being designed by these companies, they're being sold just on a aesthetic level, they're a little too serious, and it's very rare to find something that's fun, that's really, you know, that exudes some type of joy. So I got to thinking, and I started to put down a little bit about what I would want this brand Jimmy Hanna to represent. You know, what kind of culture would I want it to you know, support. So I guess one of the biggest things is happiness, like I mentioned before. You know, promoting through the product and through everything, just this idea of encouraging people to get as close to happiness as possible. Whether it's, you know, obviously it's going to be through sweating, because I think that's the common denominator across everything. I don't want to just say runners, because I do a couple things more than run, you know. I go to yoga on a relatively frequent basis, even though I'm by no means a yogi, and we're at a red light right now. So so yeah, the common denominator is sweating. So that's the first thing. You really promote this idea of happiness while you're sweating. Then the other thing is to also promote and to really get across that there is really no competition, that we shouldn't be measuring ourselves or benchmarking ourselves against anyone else, that everything that we do physically is such our own personal story. It's really only about us. It's really only about the point that we start off and that dream of where we would like to be. You know, for some people, it's I want to lose a couple pounds. For other people, it's I want to, you know, run a marathon. For me, it was kind of all of the above. It's like I started with the idea of losing weight, but then one day, I forget when, I discovered the Marathon de Sable, the MDS, which is this, the 250-kilometer race that's done over a series of stages in, I believe it was the Moroccan desert, the Sahara, and it was just amazing. It was like something that It just seemed like one of those life accomplishments just to finish. And I would like to say that that's kind of something that I would love to do one day. Boom, we're at 2K. Good job. So, you know, but at the same time, it's like, there's no measuring. There's no, oh, I gotta be better than that guy, or I gotta be better than her, or anything like that. Because in reality, you know, as much as you run, there's likely for, I think, the mortals out there, the 99.99%, we're always going to finish behind someone, and we're always going to finish ahead of someone. So, who's ahead of you and who's behind you doesn't matter. And it's really you going out for your own passion, your own goals, your own determination to prove to yourself that you've got so much that you can do when you just like put your head down and go after it. So that whole idea of not measuring yourself against anyone else, that's a big thing. And then it's this idea of, you know, community. And I would like Jimmy Hanna to be this brand that also encourages the development of community. And what does this mean? So basically, it's, you know, all these activities, whether it's running, whether it's yoga, whether it's CrossFit, all of this stuff tends to develop community. People that understand the, let's say, the pain, the suffering, the sheer willpower that it takes to, you know, build muscles, to build a cardiovascular base, to lose weight, to, you know, to go after all this. It builds community, you know, and that's one of the things that I really love. Getting together with people who are on your same boat, that can feel and empathize what you're going through. And, you know, this is the beautiful thing about the internet and everything, that it's so easy to find these like-minded people. So, yeah, that's another thing, you know, foment this community building, for lack of a better way to put it. And you're gonna have to excuse me. It's not rocket. So yeah. So all of this stuff was just swimming around in my head. And, you know, the thing that also kind of bothered me was the fact that, man, I'm going too fast here. I'm going at 4:55. The other thing that bothered me was that throughout all this advertising and posters and all this stuff that other brands use to promote their products, so few people look happy in their ads. And I can only assume that someone went out and, you know, did a study and said, oh my God, people engage more with advertising when the images are people who look unhappy. Let's make everybody look as serious as possible in our ads. So, okay, I can understand that, but I hate it. And let's not get run over by a bike. You know? So, that's the other thing. I want to promote the other side. I want to show people being happy. I want to reflect all of that in that positivity in everything, across everything, from the clothes themselves to the advertising and all this kind of stuff. So it was all these things that kind of led me to, hey, you know, the person that I am right now is really a person who runs. So obviously that's the point, that's the starting point for everything. It's going to be runners. But yeah, so anyways, so those are all those things that kind of were just swimming around in my head that led me to, hey, you know, how can I begin taking the steps to putting this thing together? And like I said before, I have no idea how I'm going to do this because I don't have the money. I don't have the contacts or the connections. All I have is this little idea and some technical know-how on how to put it together. Damn, I think I might have to stop to buy a hat because my glasses are so wet. Anyways, so with that, the first thing really that I can think of is, you know, let's start talking about it. And I guess this is kind of the point of this show, if we can call it a show, is to really start talking about this thing, see if anyone is inspired by it, if they know you, and yeah, just see what happens. See if this snowballs into something, or if it morphs into something else. Who knows? But the only thing I do know is that it's better to start with something as small as it is than to wait for the ideal condition. That's for damn sure. And that happens with running too. You know, it's so easy to say, it's raining. You know, I'm just gonna stay inside today. Then I build 100 excuses. Well, it's a good idea to not go out. Oh, I need a rest day. Oh, blah, 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 whatever. So, yeah, erasing those excuses and starting with what we have. You know, if we have rain, let's go out and run in the rain. Why not? If we have snow, let's go out and run in the snow. So whatever it is that we have, let's work with that. Let's build something from that point. You know, if you're fortunate enough to be like like Ryan Hall, and you're this amazing runner with a killer work ethic, well, you know, when he started lifting weights, he was a little stick. Now he's gained like 40 pounds. And, you know, people like to criticize and everything and say, oh, he's on testosterone replacement, blah, blah, blah. You know, but you know what? Testosterone replacement and even steroids or whatever are no substitute for work ethic. This guy works. This guy puts in the work. And that's commendable. So he started with what he had. You know? Of course, if he wants to get bigger, he's got to put in the work every day. And he does, and he did. And you see the result now. Oh, Jimmy, don't get run over by a car. So how am I starting this? I'm not sure, honestly. I have some ideas, I suppose. And, oh man, these glasses are so Oh, of course, dummy. I brought the wrong glasses. Oh my god. I didn't even remember. I didn't bring my running glasses. I brought my regular glasses. Anyway, shout out to Oakley. I left you at home, but you're amazing. So how am I gonna start? Well, obviously. So I do have experience. For those that listened to the previous episode, I went to fashion school, finished school, made a collection of clothes, and totally failed selling those clothes. And I think there's still like a bunch of boxes at home somewhere with my mom full of clothes that are probably rotten by now that I never managed to sell. So the first thing is, damn, I need to avoid that. I need to avoid this complete, this complete fuck up of going out and making a bajillion things before knowing if anybody even wants it. That's the first thing. So, starting off there, the idea that I've been having is to try and put together a crowdfunding project. That seems like a easy first step. My god, I can't see shit. Damn. Alright. I'm gonna have to take these glasses off. Just run without them for a bit. Because I can see better without them than with them right now. So crowdfunding. Yeah, that's one of those things that seems pretty damn obvious. But with all the reading and research I've been doing about crowdfunding over years, this isn't something new. I know that for this to even be somewhat realistic, I'm going to need people to know about it. There has to be something that the community really beforehand, because just building a product and assuming, oh yeah, this is so cool that people are just gonna automatically talk about it, that's kind of a big fallacy, and that's where a lot of crowdfunding things go wrong. So before having anything, I want to see if we could do that, if I can start getting people to know me and, trying to get some trust and build some credibility that, I'm not full of shit, that I'm not just some random guy who showed up one day, but that I put in the work, because I think that's important. If you're going to try and crowdfund something, don't just bullshit people with a pretty video and a whole bunch of promises, but actually, be part of something for a while, have people trust you. I think that's important. So, crowdfunding ideas there. But then, another thing is that when I've been talking with my wife about this, because she's the one that knows me better than anyone. We've been talking about a whole bunch of different stuff. And I mentioned one day, hey, just talking about, the projection of where I would like this brand to go, what I would like it to do for other people. And she was like, well, why don't you sponsor athletes? And, initially it was like, my first gut reaction was like, how am I gonna sponsor people if I have nothing to give them? And she had a great idea. She was like, well, why don't you start the sponsorship off with a percentage of whatever you crowdfund goes back to these athletes. And frankly, that was an amazing idea. I think that's something wonderful, because that's really another thing that I would like for this brand to do, is that there's so many people out there, pro and amateur. Here's the thing, I'm not just talking about professional. We're at 5K, people. Good job. Awesome. 5K, like a champ. So, there's so many people out there that are not, that their lives are really hard. And I'm talking about athletes now, pro or amateur, that their lives are hard, that they can't dedicate more time to what they do because it's economically impossible, you know? And as spectators, we love seeing them when they excel. We love seeing them when they're breaking records, when they're performing stupendously. But, you know, we're not really supporting them in very many ways. You know, yes, we do indirectly support them when we buy a product of one of their sponsors. So, for example, there's a guy that I'm a fan of. His name's Sage Kanade. And Sage is, as he puts it, any distance, any surface. So he was almost a marathon. He almost qualified for the Olympic marathon trial team trial race. Missed it by like a minute. But he's an amazing ultra runner that yesterday he just finished third at the Transvolcania, which is, I think it was like a 75K ultra marathon, ultra trail in the Canary Islands, these Spanish islands that are off the coast of Africa. So, amazing runner. And yeah, he's sponsored by Hoka, Hoka 11. And he's also sponsored by, I think, like Ultimate Direction or something like that. And you know, that's the thing. It's like, if we buy something from Hoka, yes, we are, you know, by default, adding to their bottom line that, you know, helps them sponsor Sage. But there's just a lot of other people that don't have that luck. You know, they're not in that upper 1% of athletes to get sponsored. So, and that's not a knock on anyone, on any brand or anything. It's just, you know, they can't go out and sponsor everyone. That's why I think it's important for more people to create more companies and more brands that help pros and amateurs that aren't in that 1% to make a living from what they're passionate about, what they're good at. And that's kind of another reason why I want to put Jimmy Hanna together, to be able to sponsor some of these athletes, because it's just so important that we need more people to support each other. You know, when we all have someone that supports that sort of something, whether it's a spouse, whether it's family, friends, even co-workers, you know, we're essentially very tribal people, and the more we grow, the more cities grow, unfortunately, the more disconnect we have between each other. And I'd like to kind of do my little part to to reverse that, to help us connect more between each other, to help us help each other more, to support us, to support each other more in everything that we're doing. And, you know, realistically, a lot of times what we need is money. We need money to pay bills. We need money to, you know, pay rent. And if we can get that off of the back of, you know, being sponsored, then that gives that person the opportunity to really develop themselves, to really excel, to really see where the limit of their own personal development is, so that we can later, you know, sit back, watch their performance, and just be absolutely inspired by them. And that's absolutely amazing. That's so amazing. You know, to see a guy like Sage run, to see him have that opportunity because of brand, really, and his own work ethic, of course. I'm not saying it's not that too, but, you know, brands are sponsoring him. Brands are giving him the opportunity to, you know, to work at what he loves doing, to work at what he's physiologically, you know, meant to do on this planet. Because here's the amazing thing too. Him finding his personal passion, him finding what he's great at, helps me, helps you, helps everyone that discovers him. Why? Well, because Sage all of a sudden creates a YouTube channel, which he has, where he shares his experiences, he shares his knowledge, he shares everything that he's learning on this road of self-discovery. And yeah, his road is not my road, but he does help me understand mine better. He does push me in new directions. He does push my thinking into different areas. So, you know, if it's not for, you know, foundationally, of course, if you look at this, but also, you know, focus sponsoring and allowing him to have that bandwidth to be able to dedicate his life towards running, training, competing, then I don't have these ideas. I'm not inspired to have these ideas. I don't, you know, and that's the amazing thing. A brand that sponsor athletes. That's not, and I'm not talking about like LeBron James is a Nike. I'm talking about smaller brands who sponsor the person that is still passionate beyond all belief. I'm not saying LeBron James is passionate, but sponsoring them, you know, giving back the way that the guy like Sage gives back. You know? And I guess that's what I'm trying to say. That I want to play my part in helping more people, you know, have a slightly higher opportunity to live doing what they would love to do. You see, I can put on my glasses again. A little bit, all right. Just a little foggy. I think it's gonna. Alright, it's a little better. I'm not rocking for you, enjoy that. So yeah, you know, this is one of those things that I'm super passionate about. Because, you know, there are so many people that need $200. That need a little bit of support to really be able to ramp it up, do something amazing. So why not build a business? Why not build a brand, another brand that supports it. You know? That's me. It's exactly why I want to do this. So people support each other. So, you know, we have... Yeah, so we support each other. It's too important. Oh. So, hey, 7K. You know, little side note. I'm really liking talking and running because it slows you down. And I think that, like I said before, I think that's good. I can't go and redline everything all the time. This is my my tendency. And I think a lot of people's tendency to go too hard, too often, and we unfortunately, you know, take a dump and injure ourselves and really screw things up for ourselves. So, yeah, this is turning out to be really helpful. It's slowing me down. Because if I can't maintain that conversation, we're too fast. So, back to the brand. And, so yeah, support. Super important. You know, there's just so many people that I run across on Instagram, even Strava, that they are, you know, they're passionate runners. And some of them are lucky to have a couple sponsors, you know, nothing major. But I want to be another one. I want to be there to help them, you know, help them inspire everyone else. It's important. So yeah, so there's that idea too. If we can successfully put together a crowdfunding campaign, one of the primary things, besides manufacturing the product, is going to be sponsoring a series of these athletes. You know, athletes who are happy runners, who are, you know, showing the world that they're contributing to not only to the sport, but to everyone that comes across them. So yeah, I think that's pretty cool. I think that's pretty awesome, honestly. If you have any ideas on how else we could help these people, you know, continue to inspire, man, I want to hear it. So, moving on. Jesus Christ, we got run over by a forklift now. Dude turns a blind corner. Not even looking. Jesus. And fast. Not only not looking, but fast. So. And here's. Oh, and there's more stuff. So, as you can tell, I've been thinking about this a while. So, I don't know if you know, but I'm from California, but I don't live in California. I live in Barcelona, Spain. I've been out here for like 14 years now, right? So, there's also this, I know that me and my wife were eventually moving back. Right now, my wife's mother, she's got Alzheimer's, and father passed away about a year and a half, 2 years ago. So, you know, she's pretty old. We're sticking around here until yeah, the inevitable happens. And, but that's kind of, somewhat planning to eventually go back to somewhere in the States and do what? Well, hopefully build Jimmy on my own and she's a holistic kinesiologist, so she'll continue to see patients and all this kind of good stuff. So since I'm here, I kind of have this, I don't want to say it's a problem, but it just makes things a little bit more complicated because I want to do most everything in English because honestly that's what I feel most comfortable with, although I am fluent in Spanish, but I just always thought about this in English. So, but I do want to organize some. Man, these glasses are getting so fogged up. So annoying. But we keep running. So, the other idea that I want to organize an event here. And it's not a race. There's already, and this is pretty cool about Spain. If you don't know this, there are trail races and road races all the time, everywhere. It's absolutely incredible. There's like this very weird running culture here that it's a massive running culture, but it's not as public facing as it is in like the States, you know, in the sense of like, it's much more personal activity than it is like this public, shout to the world that we're a runner activity. So there's a lot of races. I actually have two races coming up. I have one next Sunday. And 2 weeks after that, another one. So these are going to be my first trail races. It's, one is like a 24K, the other one's like a 26 or 28K, something like that. And, one has about 1,000 meter elevation gain, and the other one, I think, a little bit less. So that's going to be a whole new experience for me. I'm curious to see if my legs can handle it. So, we'll find out soon enough. But anyway, yeah, a lot of races out here. So, the event. So, I'm going to organize an event for run. And this isn't a race, like I said. The idea is to hold a day-long event where We put on nothing but practical workshops geared towards something related towards running. For example, like yoga for runners, nutrition for runners, all this kind of different stuff for runners. And I did something similar to this a while ago, not for runners though, but for the do-it-yourselfer community in Madrid. So we put on a day-long event where we held, I think it was like 5 or 6 simultaneous workshops. That each workshop was about 2 to 4 hours long, and we ended up having about, I think about 16 workshops over the course of the day, and about 300 plus people ended up coming by. It was absolutely amazing. One of the most spectacular things I've ever done, really, because there's a guy running in front of me that has the legs of a fucking stallion. Jesus Christ. This is amazing. Honestly, it looks like, wow, kudos to you, dude, whoever you are. So,
So yeah, so, you know, one of the end results from that was, at the end of the day, you know, after seeing all these people make stuff with their own two hands, because all the workshops were like very practical, they made stuff, whether it was, like, learned sew, to learning how to make a lamp, to learning how to silk screen, like a little tiny maker fair, really. Boom, 9K. So it was amazing to see everyone happy at the same time. It was this, I don't even know how to explain it. Everyone was happy, like ecstatic. And one of the coolest things was when we closed up, the energy, and yes, this is a little bit woo-woo metaphysical, but the energy that was left was palpable. You could absolutely touch it. You could feel it. You could cut it with a knife. And it was all positivity. It was amazing, really. A volleyball tournament going on over here by the beach. So I want to repeat that, but for runners, you know, I want to put on this event where runners learn how to improve on whatever they're doing. Help them learn what they need to learn. Well, not what they need to learn, but just, you know, help them discover something additional to support their running. You know, the thing is that I would love to do this in English, but frankly, I don't think it's possible. Perhaps there could be a couple workshops in English, but I think that this is going to have to be in Spanish. But that's cool. The only thing is, they kind of merge it with Jimmy Hanna. But anyways, that's just this other thing. And the reason is, help connect people that are passionate about running to meet each other. Because that's really one of the biggest things, too, that comes out of all this stuff, is that the community meets each other face-to-face, and that helps establish a lot of new relationships, new bonds, connections between people that ultimately lead to a whole bunch of other good stuff between them. So, yeah. And, you know, it was, so now, the thing is, how do I organize all of this stuff? And frankly, I think that I have a big organizational problem, because I tend not to make lists, or, you know, outline steps to take, and I just step into a puddle, and my foot's wet. So, I think that's one of the first things I need to do is start organizing and outlining everything involved with everything and seeing how I can, begin to, I heard this example somewhere, slice this salami into thin sections that I can take care of each day and really start making progress, because these are those things that I want to do, and I want to dedicate my life to doing. So, I suppose that's what I'm talking about, because it's going to help me, you know, somehow push myself to go after that stuff. Ah, man. We're almost at 10K. I don't know, I'm longer. I should go. Let's go see Wee. I think maybe another 13, 15, something like that. I think that should be good. It's not exactly a long run, but we put in some work. But yeah. And you know, along everything, well, alongside everything, you know, I'm doing a lot of introspective work to, you know, understand myself better, not only through running, but through just self-development. I learned a bunch of things over the past 6-7 months. Yeah, it's something that it's interesting, because really what this goes back to is this whole idea of happiness. And I think a lot of times I have found myself a little unhappy, because there was a lot of things that I didn't understand about myself. And you know, I guess we're homies, so full disclosure, I've been seeing for like the past 6-7 months a gestalt therapist, which is kind of like a psychologist, but instead of focusing on the rationalizing of why you're doing what you're doing, it's more focused on the feelings that are caused or that you feel in the moment, and trying to understand them, and trying to really, you know, put into words without judging what it is that you feel. So this person has really helped, because it's like having, you know, it's interesting because we all have coaches. Like if we play a sport, we all have a coach. There's very few people that self-coach, you know. When I was in high school, I was a pretty good baseball player until I got injured, but I had coaches, you know. Some coaches were better than others, but I think they all tried to do their best to help me develop my skills. And one of the things that's interesting is we absolutely lose the fact that as adults, we could use a coach. We could use a emotional coach, because there's a lot of learned behaviors that are just like automatic. We default to them. And they can cause us a lot of unnecessary distress. That's because we don't know what we don't know. And we're not aware of all these things. And, you know, over the past, month or so, I've learned so much about the way that I function, the way that I work, some unhealthy defaults that I would just go to. And, you know, I guess one of the biggest things that I've taken away was to this two big things. One is to know that not everything is a fight, you know, that not everything is competition, that I'm not supposed to try and win at everything, that, you know, because that was one of my tendencies for a long time, is this kind of personality to where I think it happens to everyone. Well, that's a judgment. So it happens to me that I would want to, you know, Everything was probably something against me, or, you know, take things really personally, and really the understanding that, you know, these things are not here, are underestimated to me. People are acting the way they can, you know? And
okay, for some reason, this thing has stopped recording as soon as I grabbed the phone. So I think at like minute 8, something weird happens. But anyways, I think we should be okay. So, yeah. So, being able to say that I'm wrong. You know, I think you should try it. Honestly, I don't want to make any assumptions, although I am, because I think a lot of people get caught up with the need to be right, the absolute need to prove to the world and to everyone that they come across that they're right. And, you know, it's a really healthy thing to just kind of be aware of, because really, happiness is the goal. That's the number one goal. And, you know, sometimes doing something that puts us in a place of not being right makes us happier, because it liberates a lot of tension. It keeps us from having to defend sometimes things that we know are wrong. And I think I'm saying we, and plural, and putting everything in a plural, but it's me. And I'm sharing this with you because I think that it might be helpful to someone out there. But in reality, this is still a lot of the things that I want to promote with Jimmy Hanna, with this brand, you know? I want to help people to be happier. And, you know, sport is the excuse, but there's still a lot of things that we can discover along the path, along our little individual roads that can help us be happier. So, yeah, it was really fun. So this whole moment of realizing that this is the same, you know, I was wrong and that's okay. It was really interesting. It was a moment of self-awareness that really brought a lot of insight into a lot of things. And there's been a couple moments where I've had to, you know, go back on things and, you know, say that I was wrong. And man, the ease that came from that is absolutely incredible. It's like all of a sudden I could go back and take a breath. And instead of choking on my own bullshit, to say, hey, you know, I was wrong. What I thought is not right. And what I said is not right. And, you know, retract, take a step back. Very, feels very, very good. And, yeah. So, because, you know, we don't have that much time on this planet. And that's the funny thing. The time that we have here is so short, a blip of nothing, that everything we can do is to try and find that happiness as soon as possible. And to be a positive part
a positive little element to everything can only be good. And I want to be that. And sometimes it's not easy. You know? Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's really hard. But if I don't put in the work, I'll never know it. So, oh man. I think we're on the final stretch. I think there's probably about 3 or 4 kilometers left. And right now we're passing by Barcelona, a part of a port where there's so many like tourist restaurants. It's called Passeig de Joan de Borbó. Anyway, so finding the little moments to be happy. So gratifying. And I'd really like to know what you do. What are the things that you've learned along the way to self-examine, to understand, to be happier? Because for me, being aware of myself is so hard, because there's just kind of like this boop, 13K. There's just this mechanism of, oh man, like just going so fast all the time, going almost on autopilot with so many things, that we lose sight of ourselves. A lot of times when we're talking, we won't even wait to listen and understand what the other person's saying before we were thinking of the answer that we're going to give, that's going to, just crush and prove ourselves right. And again, it's that self-awareness of just, saying, hey, slow down, listen to the other person, try and understand how they might be seeing and feeling this situation. Because there might be a lot of truth that we're not listening to simply because we're so eager to get our own point across, to prove that we've got our own truth that is the most true. And we don't listen. So having that awareness, that self-awareness, to slow down, listen, take everything in, and not be so quick on pulling the trigger and spouting out something and then getting into a back and forth where we're just trying to prove that what we said was true, was right. Oh God, that's such an energy suck. It just pulls the life out of so many relationships, out of ourselves, and it's totally unhealthy. So that self-awareness of slowing down, damn, that's important. It's funny while I say that, while I'm running, but I think it's a very valid point. Self-awareness. I was told to try and find like 3 or 4 minutes during the day, not even consecutive, just 1 minute moments to where I can just stop and breathe. Stop and breathe. Just for a minute to slow down, to be aware, of myself, what I'm feeling, just observe myself. And one of the cool things that we talked about recently was, and I think it's a good exercise actually for anyone to try out, is with the idea of, you know, being aware and observing and describing what we observe, because the end intent was to help describe what I was feeling without judging. So the therapist has a tiny little plant on a little table, and she just said, hey, describe that plant to me. First she said, imagine I was blind. So I started describing the little plant, but I was saying, oh yeah, it's trying to stretch itself out, blah blah blah, and that's a judgmental statement, because I don't know if it's trying to stretch itself out. It's not an observation. That's a judgmental statement. So eventually she shifted the example over and said, imagine I'm a sketch artist, and so now describe to me the plant in a way that, as a sketch artist, I would be able to, you know, duplicate it, to draw it out. So immediately I started observing without passing on judgment. I would just say, oh well, it's 2 palm heights high, it's got X amount of leaves, the leaves are in this shape, the stem is thin, etc, etc, etc. And I began to describe and to put together a picture of this plant that did not involve any judgmental statements. It was not me trying to, you know, interpret anything about the plant other than what was exactly happening, what was exactly there. So, where is it useful? So, the utility is describing your own feelings in that same way. So, like right now, just sit back, or even if you're running, just, you know, try and describe what you feel to a sketch artist. So right now, my breath is a little shallow. It's hard to bring my breath all the way down to my diaphragm. I might be going a little bit too fast, but no, I think it's just I feel like, this is a hard exercise. Not the running, the describing my own feelings as if I was explaining them to a sketch artist. So, I feel a little bit of a knot above my stomach. My face feels a little cold. My legs do not feel tired. I feel some strain on my glutes. But emotionally, I feel, wow, this is much harder than it seems. So yeah, I guess it's something that I need to go back and try and understand a little bit more, because it's definitely not easy. But being aware of taking that minute to breathe deeply, to slow down, to bring some awareness to my space and time, to understand, to try and describe my feelings, it's an exercise in slowing down. And you know what's funny? This whole slowing down thing. I think that's another point that we take a lot for granted. everyone, and I'm speaking for myself, I feel like there's so many times where I'm just going at 200%, if that's even possible. You know, I feel like I'm not taking the moments that life needs to actually organize, plan, put together ideas, and really develop a path, really, something to follow, because it's like just moving way too fast automatically, and slowing down has, that's another thing that I've learned, or at least that I've tried to become a little bit more aware about, slowing down, and it's been especially evident between my wife and I, because, you know, we've been married 10 years, and I think there's a lot of times where we just default into very automatic ways of responding to each other, of, like, not waiting for the other to finish a statement, to not listen completely to what the other person's saying. And, you know, I think it's doesn't help the relationship. So, you know, having this awareness of slowing down, or really just making an effort to listen and not think of what you're gonna say, just to listen, and after they're done, then take a second and think and reply. You know, it's a useful little exercise that seems too simple, but it's definitely helpful, because, hold on, water time. Because I think it helps the other person know and feel that we're really listening, that we're not just waiting for our turn to talk, but that we're 15K, and we've got about less than a kilometer left. So, yeah, slowing down is extremely helpful for everyone. And that doesn't mean that you don't do a lot of things. It doesn't mean that you don't have a lot of things, that a lot of irons in your fire. But it just means that you give each situation its due time to develop, to listen, to understand. And man, does that make a difference in conversation? Incredible difference. Because it goes from almost a competition into really a conversation, to where you're not just trying to one-up the other person with whatever you have to reply, but you're actually learning and talking and understanding. And man, that's really useful, really helpful. So yeah, give it a try. It'll without a doubt help you, I believe. So yeah, we're almost done. This has been fun again, and I hope that you're taking something out of this. That's my intent. You know, I don't just want to tell you everything about a project, Jimmy Hanna, but I want you to get to know me, you know, personally. So yeah, we're pretty much done. Follow me on Strava, Jimmy Flores, J-I-M-M-Y-F-L-O-R-E-S. If if you want to, yeah, you can follow me, tweet me at Jimmy Hanna Tweets. That's the handle. And yeah, with that, I am almost over now. I think I'm gonna cross this next street, and we'll call it a day after that. I would love to know. Yeah, I would love to hear from you, honestly, to get your thoughts and feelings on what I'm doing, what I'm hoping to do, how I can improve it. If you think I'm wrong, if you think I'm going in the right direction, if you can help me, because like I said, I want this brand to help people. And yeah, our excuse is build an apparel company, but I want to build a good one. I want to build a good culture. I want to help people. So that's kind of where we're at. And I have just stopped running. And over and out. Whew. That was fun.